Ready? All right. Let me just get these vocal cords ready. All right. The title this morning is The Enemy's Help, Part 10. Part 10, December 9th. Man, what, like 22 more days left this year? Something like that? But don't be afraid, because 2013 is coming. It's going to be good for us. Amen. This morning I want to continue on our series, The Enemy's Help. This will be part 10. And we've said over the last several 9 weeks that the arrival of an enemy in your life is a sign that your present season is finally coming to an end. I don't know about you. There are some seasons in my life I'm glad ended. Amen. I'm glad that there's some new seasons coming. And I'm glad about 2013. I'm optimistic. I don't care who got elected. I'm not concerned about what's going to happen in the world, because I'm going to be focused on the things of God. I'm not going to get distracted when there's wars. I'm not going to get distracted when the stock market plunges to zero. I'm not going to get concerned when America files bankruptcy. Oh, Pastor. No. I'm going to pray about the situation, but I'm not going to be concerned about the situation, because the God I serve is bigger than all that. Amen. In order to have some progress in your life, the enemy is required. And the enemy gives you a purpose. And I've been saying every week that there's a Goliath, that there's a Moses, and that there's a Satan that is placed before you, or stands before you and your destination and destiny of who you're to become. And I started to dwell upon that this week a little bit, and I thought about that. There's sometimes in our lives some giants that we have to face. Then I thought a little bit about Moses, and he had a Pharaoh. And Pharaoh represents the government. And there's some things about the government I don't like. And there's some things I'm going to have to go against the government, that I don't have to take it just because I'm a Christian. And then there's a Satan, which means there's going to be some spiritual battles and some spiritual things that I'm going to have to do as a Christian. And I can defeat the devil not by what I say, but how I act and how I do it on my knees. Amen? The devil fights you because you're becoming more like Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. You're becoming like the Godhead. You don't like that. The enemy hates your potential because there's greatness inside of you. Let me say, there is such a great potential for you. There's the seed that's been birthing in you. You are destined for glory. You are destined to be great. And the devil knows that, and he's going to fight you, and he's not going to like you, and you're going to have these challenges and tests that come, because they're just a test to see who you are. But what we need to do is get God enrolled in our life, and we got to allow him to play a big role. But you got to understand that once God declares a movement is about to happen in your life, enemies that create winds and waves are going to show up to rock your boat. The good news is Jesus is in your boat. He didn't say that the waves would be strong and the boat might fill up with water and it might even break in half. But God said, gave me assurance that we're going to get to the other side. Somehow, someway, we're going to get to the other side. Because, see, the devil tries to destroy what God has placed inside of you. It starts as a little seed. And it's easier to destroy a seed or an acorn than it is to get under a tree that's been growing for 40 years. Big old oak tree. See, the devil's getting a little nervous because I've been in this thing called Christianity for 20 years. But I really started to get through the soil about 9 years ago when I became pastor. The devil can't uproot me anymore. He can try to shake my foundation, but my roots are so deep that he can't shake me. Storms may come and floods may come and tests may come, but all I'm going to do is I'm going to have a testimony because of what his word said to me. Faith comes by hearing, not seeing. Most people think the opposite of faith is doubt, but it's really what you see. The opposite of faith is what you see. Seeing sometimes will distract you from what God really has for you. Sometimes what you see will take your eyes off of what God has for you. Amen? Now, I love to see a miracle. I love to see signs and wonders break loose. And those are good things to see. But sometimes there's other things that get placed before you to try to detour you from what God has for you. Remember this. Negative people never stand out significantly in history when it's recorded. They just blend in. Think about all those that put Jesus to death. You don't remember all the names of those folks that were the Pharisees, the Sadducees. You don't remember. Their names aren't written in history. Because when history is written about God, their names won't be written in it. Yours will be, though. An enemy always tries to weaken you and tries always to steal your dreams. We said last week that if the devil ever knew that he was being used as a pawn to move you from level to level, he would delete you off of Facebook and leave you alone altogether. Amen? But he ain't that smart. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. He got dropped out. He never got the rest of the education that he needed to be considered graduated. The Bible said last week, we said in Romans 8:35, we said last week that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall it be tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or pearl or sword? As it is written, for the sakes that we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than. And I want to say this again. If you're a conqueror, that means you're the champ. But to be more than a conqueror, how could you be more than number one? You're already number one. God always gives you more, never just enough. God's just not the God of just barely make it by. I got two nickels to rub together. I just got barely enough to get by. God's the God of more than enough. He's more than a conqueror. When he wipes out the enemy, he wipes him out and then puts him on display that you whooped him. God does things to glorify him, not to glorify you. Why did they have to have so many jewels on that crown? Because it had to have more than everybody else's, because he is more than a conqueror. Because he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So this morning we're going to continue and take a look at the scripture. We looked at 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians 4:17. We've been having this as our scripture for the last several weeks. And it says, for a light affliction. Guess what? We're going to have some light afflictions. Which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things that are seen, once again, faith is not seen, faith is heard. While we do not look at things that are seen, but things that are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal. Now, this morning's word is going to be I've been building up for the last 9 weeks about how the enemy helps you. And we said that there's a real enemy out there that tries to push you and tries to get to you. He tries to distract you and he tries to anger you and he tries to get to you and your job and your family and all that. But there's one more enemy. And there's an enemy within us that we need to deal with. Uh-oh, Pastor. Going to be hard today. This morning we're going to face some hard facts about ourselves. That there is a real enemy. And not every enemy you face has arrows and darts and bombs planted in your driveway. Sometimes the toughest enemy to conquer is the one living underneath your own skin. Oh man. You get too many amens on that one. But it's true. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Try to explain to my kids, sometimes you just got to keep your big mouth shut because you're your own worst enemy. You're digging yourself into a hole that you can't get out. Zip it, man. I had that same problem called diarrhea of the mouth, man. I just couldn't zip it, and I just get myself further and further in trouble. As adults, we find ourselves doing that. But there's an enemy inside of us. Maybe more accurately, I'll say something, that there's something inside of us that we can't seem to conquer. There's some flaw or character deficiency, or maybe there's an addiction that we can't whip yet, and it rises up to threaten our destiny. Maybe it's drugs or alcohol or whatever that might be. Those are things that is like an enemy within you that you haven't had a chance yet to whoop yet. And that enemy gets in there and it causes you all kinds of havoc, and it slows you down from God's destiny for you. And I want to tell you this morning, what this means is, no matter what the cost, you got to take this enemy down that's inside of you, because it's slowing you down. It may be a lifestyle. It might be something you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, or something you're watching you shouldn't be watching. Those things will drag you down. The enemy within you could be wounds or patterns that were rooted in you as a childhood, when you're in childhood, or were created out of a difficult situation. Maybe you went through something and it got inside of you and you haven't been able to give it to God. This morning, we're going to give it to God. Amen. See, the internal enemy is potentially more dangerous than the external enemy, because it bruises to your soul, and those bruises are hidden for a while. So you might have survived incest or rape or divorce, and those are horrible experiences, but they were out in the open. The internal enemy may go undetected for a long time, silently doing damage for decades before suddenly raising its ugly head. And it appears, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that is inside of me. Take a look at Isaiah 53. I think it's verse 5, right? Yeah, it's going to be verse 5, yeah. I want to show you something. This is the New Living Translation, Isaiah 53, 5. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whooped so we could be healed. Ron Carpenter, Pastor Ron Carpenter, says this way. He paraphrased it, and I like this. It spoke volumes. He was wounded for our transgressions, our outward cuts and bleeding on the cross for outward obvious sins. In other words, you know that Jesus took the bullet for you, because you're a foul mouth, lying, cheating, carousing, whoremongering, porno watching, drug smoking person. Tax cheat, whatever you want to call yourself. Right? Because those are outward things that could be seen, that will be brought up to you when you become running for president of the United States of America. You have 14 affairs, and you had, I mean, all that stuff comes out when you run for office. But it also says he was bruised for our iniquities, our internal sins and flaws that we hide from others. All those secret things that you hold in, all the things that you're struggling with internally, and you seem like you can't get over it, he died for those as well. See, bruises don't show up. They bruise to the bone, and then they come through the skin, and then you see that dark circle or the red or dark, you know. But it bruises from the inside out. He died for all those sins too. He died for all those addictions and those things that you do in the quiet hours on your own time. Getting quiet in this Christian church this morning. Oh, Pastor, that's crazy. No, I was one of those two. Pastor Diana was one of those two. We did things secretly, internally. But we had to learn how to deal with those things. Things we used to watch, and books we used to read, and magazines we used to purchase, TV programs you used to watch. Come on now. I preach to myself on this. And then it gets a hold of you, and you just can't take your eyes off it. Got to have more. I got to have a little of that alcohol. I just had a glass of wine, but I need to have a little bit more, and you fight that. Or I had just a little cigarette that had that marijuana in it. Now before I'm buying pounds of it, and now I got to distribute it so I can get mine for free because I got to have it. Living in a good home and a good environment, but still sin is sin. Might not have been robbing banks and stealing cars, but that sin is just as bad as the sin I was doing in God's eyes. Sin is sin. And there's some internal things that I had to deal with, just like you have to deal with. The enemy knows, though, that if you ever uproot and defeat the enemy that's within you, you'll be free to help others win the same battle that you just went through. I can help people that have been drunkards because I've been through drinking. I know what it is to give that up. I didn't go through 12 step. I went to one step. I said, hey, I got to embrace this cross because I can't do it on my own. Used to smoke cigarettes. It had a funny smell. I had to go brace the cross. And not a lot of people knew I smoked it, but I had to brace the cross and say, this is an internal thing. I got to get rid of it. There's movies and magazines I looked at. I said, I got to get rid of those things. I got the best thing to look at. I don't need to look any further. But I had a battle that I had to get rid of. I didn't want it to come up and stumble and make me stumble and fall after I got married. My wife doesn't want me to be in the arms of another woman, nor do I want to find her in another arms of another man, because she didn't deal with her stuff that was an internal battle. Trying to keep it real. The devil knows once you uproot and defeat the enemy within you, you're free to help other people. He wants to bind you up. He wants to jack you up. He wants to hold you down. He doesn't want you to get this word. Why? Because he wants to bind you up. Maybe you smoke and you're having a hard time smoking. Maybe today's the day that we just give it to God. Maybe there's something you've been battling with internal and you just can't flick it off the darn TV program. See that stuff on? I got to flick it off as fast as I can because I don't want to go backwards. I got rid of HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, Hi-Max, Deuce-Max, do-do-do-do, and I got rid of it all. I don't want to have any of that in my house because I don't want to have any temptation. I don't want to even have, I just want to get rid of it all. Amen? Don't send me any magazines to the house. I don't need any of those descriptions. I don't even subscribe to Men's Health anymore because half the stuff in there is a bunch of junk in there and scantily dressed people that, you know, I think is just a little crazy. It's bad enough they got my body posted on those darn billboards for Chippendales and just changed the face, you know, to keep me safe. It's okay. I understand that. You laugh about that. Let me just tell you a little story. I was driving a year or two ago, I think I told my wife, and on Flamingo, I was getting on the Flamingo to get onto the freeway, and I was heading west, and on there was this giant billboard of the Chippendale Men or the Australian Thunder Down Under or whatever you want to call them, and they were scantily dressed up there, right? And there's this poor girl's car that smashed into the pole because I knew exactly what she was doing. She wasn't paying attention, and I could see her had to call her boyfriend. You ain't going to believe someone cut me off the road, and I ran right into this sign. Now, there's nobody around, but there's that big old sign. I could just see she was looking at it. Oh, my God, I just didn't pay attention. It's a commercial for don't do this. You just told on yourself. Here's the thing. We got to go through some affliction. In 2 Corinthians, like we read there, there's a light afflictions. We go through some stuff. God wants us to uproot some of this stuff that's been inside of us. Because, see, here's the problem. The problem that is internal is a root problem. If you're wondering how the internal struggle got into your life, there's a good chance you could trace it back to the hidden enemy from years ago. Here's the deal. If you don't confront it, it has the ability to derail you and eventually destroy you. Let me say that again. If you don't confront it, it has the ability to derail you and eventually destroy you. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but we had to go through some cleaning up process in our family, our lives, along the way. And then once you think you got it all figured out, then there's other things that come into your life in the ministry that there's sometimes you just don't want to deal with. People. Oh, that person's so, well, you know, the pastor, you just got to love them and this and that. Well, then there's kind of a point you just got to draw a line and say, I got to deal with it. I got to confront it. Because if I don't, it'll just derail the whole ministry. And eventually destroy you. Shout this morning, it's a root problem. And I got to deal with it right now. See, this morning, if you're allowing the enemy and you're battling these internal struggles, what they're doing is they're holding you back from your destiny. God's got something even bigger. God's got something even better for you. But you got to let some of these things go. Oh, Pastor. I said, I didn't say it was easy. The good news is there's somebody that wants to help you. His name is Jesus. He leads you the Holy Spirit to help you as a conscience to keep you on the straight and narrow. Amen? But you got to deal with it. Take a look at Psalms 34:19. Psalms 34:19. I'm going to help you. That's what I'm here for. I'm your hour and a half therapist every Sunday. Praise the Lord. Downloaded from God. Amen. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. See, when you're the righteous, which you is, now I know that's not good English, but you are the righteous, you're going to have many are the afflictions. But the Lord, it says, but the Lord delivers him or her out of a few of them. Isn't that what it says? He says, but the Lord delivers him or her out of most of them. The Lord delivers him or her out of 99.9% of them. No. The Lord delivers him and her out of them all. If he said all, he left them how many behind? None. All. He will deliver you out of them all. All your afflictions, all of your addiction. When someone says, well, I'm addicted to drugs, guess what? He will deliver you. But no, he can't. Oh, so in the Bible, he'll deliver you everything except from the alcohol or the cocaine. It didn't say, he said, and I will deliver them out of them all. I'll deliver them out of their addictions, their internal struggles that they're dealing with, their anger management that they got to take care of. See, our hope for healing and strength is in the Lord, who's our deliverer. Don't delay to go to God for help with your inside enemy. You're going to need God's help to pluck out what's inside of you. Because what's inside of you, you don't want to let go. You'll struggle. And I will tell you, the devil will bring 15 friends that have that same issue. And guess what? He'll bring them all at the same time so that you don't give it up. But you got to get rid of it. Now, I'm going to burst your bubble this morning. Because we use this excuse, and I used it a long time. Can't use it anymore. The devil didn't make you do it. We give the devil way too much credit. Oh, the devil made me do it. That's why I'm still on working on the system. That's why I'm still on government cheese. I know I'm going to get hate mail on this, and I can see it already. Well, the family was on a system, so I should be on a system. But you're well-abled. You're capable. You're set apart. You're smarter than that. A lot of people get more spiritual when they should get more disciplined. Let me say that again. A lot of people get more spiritual when they should get more disciplined. More time in the Word, more prayer, more fasting, more alone time with God is what they need. It's not the devil that needs rebuking. It's our undisciplined lifestyle from the world that needs to be transformed by His Word. Oh, you're not going to love me on the internet. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's your undisciplined lifestyle. Because you don't want to do the Word that will transform you. So we just say, I can't do it. I didn't know Jesus had the word can't. I thought He said all. Didn't He say all? But the Lord delivers them out of them all. All those things you're dealing with. Doesn't He? All of them? Sometimes it's easier to super spiritualize something and blame the devil than to understand a need that or that we have a personal flaw and take ownership for it. Now, I know I'm not talking to any of you, but you know somebody. We don't want to take ownership for it. So that's why instead of having 37 million people on food stamps, we have 47 million people on food stamps. Now, I'm not saying those that lost their job and are trying to find one. I'm not talking about, but there's other 37 million that have been on it for like a lifetime. It's been a supplement to their income. Pastor, how do you know? 25 years ago, I was a landlord in the city of Detroit. I got to see this issue of not dealing with the problems that you have. It's easier to blame somebody else than take responsibility. It's easier to use the system than to get on the God system. It's easier to trust in the government than to trust in God. Because I don't see God, but I do see the government helping me. Uh-oh, I'm going somewhere. I don't even have this in my notes. So good. The reason why you're seeing the world in the United States start to disintegrate is because they're starting to trust man, the government, more than they trust God. They already took him out of school. They already took him out of the courthouse. They already took him out of everywhere else. You can't put these displays up because it might offend somebody. You're not politically correct if you don't use the right thing. And yes, we should have rights for everybody. Really? It's because they're undisciplined. They're not willing to sacrifice. They're not willing to change their ways. They just want something handed to them. What we can hand them is the Word of God. And the Word of God will change them and will transform them. God was never into giving a hand out. He was into giving a hand up. He is there to pull you out of your fiery situation. That addiction to drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, He pulls you out of that circumstance and situation. But then there's got to be a time where you can't get so spiritual that you just got to start looking and say, I got some flaws. Maybe it's me. Nobody talks to me at work anymore. Well, they're all jerks. Well, maybe I'm the biggest jerk of them all, and that's the reason why they don't talk to me. Oh, can't be me. I just go to the next place. Cause the same. Everybody there is messed up. Pastor, how do you say that? I interview people all the time. One of the things that says, how was your last boss? Well, that guy was a jerk. That's why I quit him. Oh, okay. I'm going to be the next jerk you're going to quit. And I said, well, how about this job here? What happened? Well, that manager, man, he was up. And used some kind choice words. Strike two. Well, this guy didn't diddle-daddle-daddle. And I just looked and I stopped and I said, you know, you told me once, you told me twice or three times. Do you ever think maybe it's you? And he looked at me like, I said, I really appreciate the time I got to spend with you. I got to really know you pretty well. I said, I'll give you a call if we're going to be needing your skill set. That'll be jerk number four. because I told the guy no, or I didn't do something the way he wanted me to do it. No personal responsibility. The government's like Santa Claus. Gimme, because my name's Jimmy. And then they take commercialized Christmas. They already got Christmas going into Thanksgiving. Got to hurry up. Got to go get this up and cause a ruckus at the store. And I only have three of those devices. You have 15,000 people waiting outside the door. Because they're all about the things and they're not about God. See how we've turned? How the enemy has turned people away from God? Instead of calling on the name of God, they call his name, but they don't call it in the right perspective. So we got to quit blaming the devil for stuff. We got to start letting people, quit rebuking the devil and start taking some responsibility for ourselves. It's really, a lot of times we blame the devil. I have. Devil made me do that, you know. And that's why I got mad at my wife, because the devil made me do it. I didn't know I had the devil living inside me. I'd be kind of messed up if I had the devil living inside me, wouldn't I? Last time I looked, I'm a vessel pure and holy, ready for God to pour through. Yeah, I got some attacks, and yeah, I got some things mounting, and yeah, we got some people saying some stuff about you. That means you're blessed. They ain't talking about you. That means you're not blessed. I want to be the most talked about pastor, the most controversial, the one they're talking about. Why? Because obviously God's doing something there. There are some areas in our life where we just need to make some changes. The way to make these changes and the way to do these things is to develop discipline and follow through. It means spending some alone time with God and say, Lord, there's some things in my life I just need to get cleaned up. Lord, there's some areas in my life that aren't perfect. And I know that you're pleased, but you're not well pleased. And there's some struggles that you go through. Don't take those struggles into 2013. Don't. Allow the enemy's help today to help you just flush yourself out. Amen? The devil hates your potential because you have greatness inside of you. If you understood the greatness you had inside of you, oh my God. That's why the devil trembles. That's why the devil's afraid of you. That's why he wants you to hold on to all those old things you held on to. Why? Because he doesn't want you to break free. Because once you do, oh my God, there's going to be some change. The enemy knows that if you uproot and defeat the enemy within, you'll be free to help others in the battle that you just defeated. He don't want you to help it. He wants you all bound up and can't move like a mummy. But you need a daddy to set you free. A mama's love is good, but the daddy will set you free. My Abba Father will help you. It's a root problem that needs to be dealt with before it chokes out what is growing in the inside of you. You ever see weeds growing up next to your corn? And you got to pull those weeds in their heart, and you got to be careful that not to uproot the seed that's good. Sometimes God chokes out some relationships to help you. Because if it don't, it'll choke you out. We got to take the word of God and believe it and hold true to what God said. A lot of people are more spiritual when they should be more disciplined. There are some areas in our lives that we just need to make some changes. In the way that we do things, the way that we say things, and develop some discipline in different areas of our lives. Don't allow the devil or the enemy to kill your dreams that God has placed inside of you. Think about this morning. We all have some internal struggles. We've been through some stuff. But God says he'll take you through them all. He didn't say he's going to leave everyone behind except for that cancer that's going to kill you.
He didn't say that.
Or the addiction to drugs or alcohol or pornography or anger, violence. Didn't say that you couldn't be a college-educated person even though no one in your whole household was ever college-educated. Maybe you're the least likely, but in God's eyes, you're the most likely. But we have to be disciplined. I have to go to the gym several days a week. I have to discipline myself to go. I hate to go. There's other things I like to go do. But if I don't go and I go undisciplined, then I'm not going to feel healthy. I've been disciplined to go to the therapist for my shoulder. I got more mobility this week than I had last week. I can do things I couldn't do before. I can bend it and do things I couldn't do. But I had to be disciplined to go. Sitting at home, not going, wasn't going to help my situation. I'm not relying on anybody else to get me where I need to go. I'm relying on God. I got to do my part. You got to do your part. I ain't interested in eating government cheese. It binds you up. That was never God's best plan. That was for those that were maybe disabled or mentally handicapped or challenged or maybe a widow. Was it meant for a guy 23 years old to be on welfare and getting food stamps when he's well able to go cut grass or pick weeds or work at a McDonald's? Maybe you ought to make the money that these people get less than what it would be if you went and got a job. Because right now, why go get a job? Because I'm already getting this, and by the time taxes come, it's about the same. It's an equal draw, so let's just cut that back where you can't make it on welfare. Now, I'm not knocking that you need it when you need it. But do you need it for 10 years in a row? I mean, don't you think your karma might change in 10 years? It's trying to help. Not knocking anybody. I'm not knocking those that need it, that require it because there's a reason or they have a disability or they have a child that's hurting or needing that help. Someone who's disabled someone had served our armed forces and they came back and they weren't all together. Help that person. I'm 100%. But I'm talking, you know those ones. You know the one. Work. Man, I'll be at the club, man. I get my check on the third, so I got. Well, Pastor, how do you know? I was a landlord. I used to get the Section 8 money. I get the $600 on the third. They would get their air conditioning or their electric and their gas and the water and the food, all that taken care of on the third of the month. I got my check. Don't want to work. Got a place to stay. Be 25 or 30 years old. Passed on from generation to generation to generation. Taken out of the schools, the word, taken out prayer, take out the Bible. It goes from generation to generation. So then in the generation we see got no clue about Jesus. It's because it's been taken out all along the way. They're only doing what they've seen. And it doesn't matter the color of their skin. It doesn't matter what their nationality is. It doesn't matter. None of that means anything. It's what they've seen. My grandma, his grandma, my mama, my sister, my brother, is what we've known. We're just doing what we know. And someone needs to point them to Jesus so that they can get to know who can help them. Next week, we're going to have people coming in. And many that I talk to are in need. These aren't the normal, everyday, oh my gosh, I've been on the system for 10 years type people. I can tell by their response. I can tell by what they've said. I can tell by what they're going through. They lost their job, and or their husband walked out on them and left them with two kids or three kids. And so they left their situation in Indiana or Idaho or wherever they're from to come and try to at least get a new start here. And it hasn't been good for them. And they've only been unemployed for a couple months, so they've been trying. Or they're working two small jobs but not enough to make ends meet. I'm willing to help them because they're already in the process of elevating themselves out of the hole that they're in. Amen? But there's things, one thing they need, and all I'm asking is, do you have a church? No. I said, good. When you come Sunday, maybe you can be part of ours. We'll love you right where you're at. We'll help you where we can help you. We'll do our best to help you while you're struggling. But if we get the word into them, if we can get that word, we can break generational curses. We can break the sickness and disease that some of these people have in their families. I'm believing for miracles and signs and wonders to break loose. I really am next week and the following week. I think God's going to finish out big and strong before the new year. Pastor, that's crazy. No, that's what I've been seeing. Pastor Diana had the right words to put in the letter, the email that I sent to all the people, that they need to come to service. They just need to hear it. Just one word from God will change them for eternity. This one word will turn their destiny into something phenomenal. Maybe just one word that's spoken will encourage them that they're not alone and that there's someone that loves them and that wants to help propel them. But they've been stumped on by the devil so long. They've been told that you'll never amount to nothing. The government says, "Oh, we'll just help you," instead of saying, "Why don't you go get some word from the church? That'll help you better." Chat with me this morning. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. There is an enemy, and I will defeat him. He sometimes resides in me, and I need the help of God to overcome it. I'm pulling it out by the roots, so it won't crowd what God's placing inside of me. I won't be defeated because I'm a child of God. I am blessed. I am highly favored. I say these things in the mighty name of Jesus. We all said, amen. Give the Lord some praise this morning. Did you get anything? Not a hard word, but it's a real world. Real word. Amen. Because what we're dealing with, we see it in the world, and it angers me sometimes when I just see the stupidity, the laziness, the not willing to give any effort. It frustrates me. Thank God I had nothing in my hand to throw at the TV set. We'd be getting another new TV set. And I see white man, black man, and Asian man, and Mexican man, and all these people, and they're and they all talking stupid. Like they took a stupid pill or something. We should just give it to everybody. Well, get me on that, man. Give me that free rent and that free food, and I'll be good. You know? Then I can take all my check and give it to the church, and then God can multiply that. And then I can, look how much more we would do. But since the government ain't into doing that for me, I guess I just have to go out and do what I'm doing. Just go out and work hard and you know, go live the American dream. Amen? Go out and get it done for Jesus. Sacrifice a little bit along the way. Pay my taxes as a good citizen. Amen? Pray for the president and all those in Congress because they need it. Because if they don't, there will be some revolts going on. This morning, I want to take a minute to release and break free whatever's been inside of us that we've been struggling with. We talked about the devil, we talked about the enemies and how they attack us on the outward, but there may be some things you deal with internally. No, maybe it's you deal with something when you argue with your wife all the time. Or maybe you got anger. Or maybe you got a smoking addiction or a drug addiction or some other kind of addiction. This morning, maybe you're dealing with some kind of sickness that you haven't let go. You know that God already healed you, but you haven't let it go because you like it, because it brings attention to you. See, I held on to my sickness because I was stinking stupid, but I kind of liked it because I knew I'd get some attention. I get some special prayer request my way. Call that crazy, but you know what? Some people hold on to that. They do. Because they like the attention, because no one else is giving them any attention unless there's, oh, let me tell you about my sickness. And they hold on to it like it's theirs. So this morning, I just want to open up the altars. I just want to pray for you quickly and break whatever you've been struggling, whatever. If you really want to let it go this morning, I mean, you've been holding on to it and you've been battling it. And you've been putting forth your effort and you've been doing everything you can do and God's been in your corner, but you just haven't been able to just like sever it once and for all. I want to open up the altar so that I can pray with you and for you. Pastor Diana will come up as well. And we want to just lay hands on you and know that God will break free. God will break loose. God will move whatever mountains. Didn't he say he would do all? Didn't he say all? So he didn't leave anything behind. He didn't leave that you'll have everything, but you're still going to have this stubborn temper. Or he didn't leave all this, but you're going to have this addiction to the drugs. Or you know, he said all of it because you're the righteousness of Christ Jesus. You're more than a conqueror. That means you conquer in every circumstance, in every situation. So this morning, if you want to be prayed for, we'll just take a moment. I'll pray for you, with you. We'll lay hands on you. I'm going to believe, if you believe, that God will break those internal struggles, the enemy within you. Once you get that set free, man, you are going to make a difference in other people's lives. Then when we're done, we'll close, and we'll get this room transformed in about 5 minutes to a eating fest for Christmas. Amen. And we'll have some fellowship. But let's just get this stuff cleaned up for the new year. I'm in my office right now at work, and I'm cleaning things up for the new year to start fresh and new. Maybe there's something today you want to get cleaned up so you can start fresh and new. So if that's you this morning, come on up.